Well, good morning. Thrilled to have you guys here. That was an amazing time to be able to sing with you, wasn't it? That's incredible. Love that you can be here for this. If you're a guest with us today, my name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors here. I'd be thrilled to meet you sometime. But you are coming in on part four of a five-part message series. So we got one more week that we're going to do this, where we've been talking about our identity and who God says we are and all the idols that we set up in our life and all the things that we have that take us away from being able to be who God says we are. You can catch up on all of that by going to nextlevelchurch.org, and you can see all the prior messages that are there. So today, though, we're going to talk about words. But to get into this, I wanted to kind of make a confession and see how many of you are with me. There was only one other person in the entire crowd in the last service that was with me on this. How many of you are like me? I'm a guy, and I know nothing about cars. I'm completely useless when it comes to cars. Are there any other guys with me? None, and a one. There's one in this service and one in the others. Oh, three. There's four of us in this church that don't know anything about cars. I know nothing about cars. I really don't. My wife married me. She expected me to do all the car maintenance, and like I just can't because I don't know how to do it. And so this is typically what happens to me when my car breaks down. We go out somewhere, the car breaks, and my wife is with me. She says, well, the car, I'm like, okay. So I get out of the car, and I go around, and I do what every guy's supposed to do when your car breaks, which is what? You open up the hood. And you open it and you stare at the engine. And so I do this and I stare. I have no idea what I'm looking at. Like, I know there's a battery and I know some things, but other than that, I know nothing about what's going on inside the engine. My wife inevitably will say, what's wrong? And I will say something really intelligent like, it's broke. Well, what do you see? An engine. And then I will close the hood and I'll say, we got to get a mechanic, right? And so then I will get the car to whatever shop I got to get the car to, and they will always say, well, what's wrong with the car? And I won't have the words to tell them. Like, I can't explain that the chain that leads to this and something in the transmission, like, I don't know. I could fake it, but I just don't have words. So I'll just resort to sounds. Well, it sounds like this. Right? And inevitably, when I do this, so they will say something like, hold on one second. Hey, Steve, Joe, come here. Tell them again. What sounds the car making? And I'll say, well, it kind of goes, rah, 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 you know, and they're not up there to figure it out. They just want to hear the guy make Tonka truck sounds about what his car is going on. Like, I have no clue. And the reason that I have no clue is because I have no vocabulary when it comes to working on cars. Now, if you have an IT problem, I can help you. I've got all that vocabulary down. I'm very skilled in that area. But when it comes to cars, I do not have a vocabulary. Many of us, we understand this, that words and having a vocabulary and how you use your words and what you say is very, very, very important. And so what I want to talk to us about today is when we come to our identity, when we come to things that we've set up, I want to explain how using our words can set us up for success and going down a path that God wants us to go, or they can set us up for a continual loop where we stay stuck and we stay stuck and we stay bound up and we never are able to reach freedom. So, being influenced by our words, we see this in all the time. When I was thinking about this for a way that you probably do this, is you have a favorite sports team, right? Let's imagine that you have your favorite sports team. And the words that you use about your favorite sports team reinforce either how much you love your sports team or how great they are. It's just the words that you use begin to build you and take you in a direction, right? They take you in a direction of more love and more passion for your team. Now, let's say you have a rival team, right? And that rival team's about 4 hours down the road, and they're actually a better team than you are, and they actually play better than you do, and they actually beat you last year, and they went to the Super Bowl, and you didn't. But the words that you use about that team begins to take you down a certain path and sort of road. Yeah, I get it. It's all there. And yes, you can point out that we lost. We blew a 25-point lead. I get all that. But your words, right? They can take you towards a passion or it can drive you away from something, right? Words are something that is very powerful. So I've titled this message, Idle Words. And what I want to talk to you about is two distinct ways that we use our words. And the first is we can actually have idle words, things that control our life, or we can have repentant words that lead us to some change. So let me give you some illustrations of how this is used. Idle words are very vague words. So someone will say, well, you know, I'm just having a tough season. Yes, things are kind of bad. Yes, you know, I did some things that were wrong. I made some mistakes, right? They're usually very vague. They're very vague. Repentant words, though, get very specific. They start to say exactly what it is that you've done. Like, it's not just a bad season. You're cheating on your wife, right? They get very specific in where they're at. Idle words are vague. Repentant words are specific. Now, the reason that we use idle words is that we're trying to protect ourselves. Nobody here wants to be seen as a bad guy. Nobody here wants to say, I've got an issue, I've got a problem. And so we use these very vague words so that we can say, well, I'm just not really that bad. The problem is not really that severe. You know, I can be able to handle it. So we're trying to protect ourselves. But repentant words allow us to connect to the reality of what's really going on. So instead of being vague and protecting, I can be specific and connecting. I'm starting to say, okay, this is an issue, this is a real problem, and you get down to what the specific thing is, because a lot of times hiding behind our idle words is this idea that we need to impress. And sometimes we feel like we need to impress God. God, look, you know, I'm not that bad of a person. Check out what I'm doing. I got all this. Or we need to impress other people. And so we have these, but repentant words, when you get specific and make connections, will then start leading you to confess, to confession. Now, this is really the state of who I am. This is really where I want to be. They connect us, which leads us to confession, which leads us to repentance. Guys, freedom is found here. This will keep you bound up and will keep you from moving forward. All of us, we struggle with this area. And the reason that it's an idol is because we have now put ourselves and our needs and everything that we need above Jesus. So in putting ourselves first, we go here. Jesus says, no, put me first and we will go here and then we will deal with this. So let me give you a real life scenario of where this has played out in my life to kind of lead you to this. I was in a discussion fairly recently with another guy who professes to be a follower of Jesus. And so we were having a bit of a discipleship moment, and I was talking to him about his faith and how his faith was going. And what he said to me in this conversation as we began to talk about how he was living out his faith, he said, you know, this is just a really bad season for me. I'm having a rough time. I'm just having a rough time, and, you know, I made a couple of mistakes, and, you know, I'm trying to work through that. Those are almost word for word literally what he said. Vague, right? Didn't want to deal with it, going to give me a lot of vague terms, like this is how it is. So I decided to say, no, why don't we go specific? I told him, I said, hey, you're using a lot of vague terms here. I would like if you would allow me, can we get specific about when you say rough time, when you said you made some mistakes, what specifically are you talking about? Can you be a little more specific? And he said, well, I've been under a lot of pressure at work. And they've been putting more tasks on me, and they haven't given me any help. And so in order to keep up, you know, I've had to kind of lie about the level of work that I'm doing. I've been lying to clients. I've been lying to my boss just so nobody can find out that I'm not really doing the job that I'm supposed to do. It's just really falling down. But because I'm lying, they keep promoting me, and they keep moving. And that's the bad season that I'm in. And I said, oh, well, what other areas is this kind of getting into your life? And he said, well, because of all this in my life, to be honest, I come home and I'm the stress of everything and all this going on at work. When I come home, I take it out on my wife and I take it out on my kids. And, you know, the mistakes and things that I'm making is the fact that, you know, I just won't admit what's going on to my wife. I won't confess. And our relationship has gotten really, really, really bad. I said, when you say really, really, really bad, what do you mean? He said, I think she talked to me about getting a divorce. I said, oh, okay. So tell me what's going on behind that. He said, well, because things are really, really bad at work, I mean at home, I'm spending more time with work, and then I've decided to spend more time with work friends. And so I started going out with my work friends. And so I'll work all day, and then we kind of go out and hang out and have some drinks, and I stay out pretty late because it's just bad at home. I said, okay. Hanging out with work friends? And he said, yeah, but there's this one person at work that I'm spending a little more time with. And I said, okay. Again, we're getting specific. I said, well, tell me more about that. He said, well, there's this other lady at work, and her marriage isn't working out too well either. And things are going pretty bad there. And I guess if I'm honest, I've started flirting with her. And I'm started to, because I feel like there's a connection there. I feel like I can get some attention that's going there. And so when I say that I'm going out with my work friends, I really need to be honest. I'm really only going out with her. So after work, we've been going out. We've been getting drinks. I said, oh, okay. So tell me about the mistake. And he got quiet. And he said, I kissed her. I said, ah, I see. He wanted to be vague. You see the difference? I'm in a bad spot. You know, things are pretty rough. I've made a few mistakes. Versus when I got in, I said, hey, let me just summarize what you said if we want to be specific. Just to be honest, what you've told me is that you're a liar, you're a cheater, and you're walking out on your family. Oh. We started connecting, which led to some confession. To be honest, the only reason I can tell this story, I wouldn't tell it, leave it unresolved, led to some repentance. But if he was going to stay over in this area, rough patch, things aren't going well, guess what he would still be doing today? The exact same thing. You see, when we get into idle words, when we're stuck in this category, we make no movement, we make no change, because we never connect and we never get specific and we're always protecting ourselves. And so we allow ourselves to begin to believe some things that are very much a lie. And the reason that we're doing that is because we have put ourself and our own self-interest and everything in front of Jesus. And the Bible is very specific. Anything that comes between you and God is what? Is an idol. And so we've allowed our words, he'd allowed his words to become an idol. And you know, many of us are doing that. Many of us, we've done that, you know, in some other areas. But there is a difference between using these words and using these words. See, this is what the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what God desires and expects from you. This is avoiding the issues. This is what the pagans do. This is what people who don't know Jesus do. And the temptation is always to be pulled back into our old life, to be pulled back into a life of sin. You see, specific words can lead us somewhere. Vague words lead us nowhere. You know, specific words, it's not just that I'm bad. No, I'm walking out on my family. I'm having an affair, you know. Repentant words admit, yeah, I didn't just fall into it. It didn't just happen. I premeditated it. I thought it through. I knew what was going to happen. I knew what the consequences would be, and I went ahead and I did it anyway. You see, our words, not just the spoken things, but the words that we tell ourselves are very, very important. And if we're going to get any kind of traction in our life, especially in our identity, in our relationship with Jesus, we're going to have to deal with the categories of our words. Are most of my words and thoughts, are they in this general area to where I'm trying to protect myself, I'm trying to be vague, I'm trying to not, you know, on purpose, I don't want to go there because I don't really want to have to deal with the issue? Or do I get led to this area where I get very specific with what's going on? I connect with what's happening, which will lead me to confess, Jesus, I need you. I need forgiveness for this kind of thing. You see, we like to mislabel all kinds of stuff. Well, it's not that bad, right? I mean, I know I've got like a problem. You know, I drink a few beers. I drink some things. And it's not that bad. I mean, there's people that are worse than me. You know, I know I got a little gambling thing. I go to Vegas, you know, every once in a while, 3 times a week, you know, whatever. It's not that bad. I mean, it could go 7 times a week, but, right? It's not that bad. We mislabel the things. And we don't realize, no, it's not that, you know, I'm having a couple of drinks. I have an addiction. It's not a couple of drinks. It's actually a couple of six packs, if I were to be honest and be specific. Like, I got a problem. I got an issue. See, we got to get specific, and we got to move out of the realm of what is vague. But we like to stay in this world, and we actually rehearse in our head things in this area. Now, I normally start out with a really lighthearted illustration and then go with the deep, dark one. So I kind of went with the deep, dark one. Let me give you a light one to lighten it up a little bit. Here is how Clay Munkus will premeditate using all these kind of words. When I'm driving down the road and I'm going 65 in a 45, which might be frequently or it might not be frequently. I don't know. I am rehearsing in my head the story that I'm going to tell the cop should he pull me over, right? You know, well, I'm sorry, I didn't see the sign. It was hidden. The bush, you know, it's whatever. You know, the whole time I'm thinking through what my story is, all the while looking at the speedometer, knowing that I'm speeding because I don't want to be specific. Because what I should say when the cop pulled me over, I go, yeah, you pulled you over for going 65. Well, actually, I thought I was going 68. Kind of knew I was doing. I was in a hurry. Could we move this along? Right? But we rehearse these things in our head all the time. What am I going to say? How am I going to get out of that? You know, I don't want to look bad in this specific instance, so what am I going to do? And the point is, if I begin to start rehearsing idle words in my head, it's never going to lead me to freedom, and I'm always going to be bound up in the thing that I am in. But yes, we all have a tendency to want to protect ourselves. We all have a tendency to make sure that we look good and that we don't look bad. In fact, this goes all the way back. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus gets invited over to this religious person's house. He was a Pharisee, a religious leader. The guy's name was Simon. And so Jesus comes over to Simon's house, and they sit out and they begin to have a meal, have dinner together. And what you suppose is this was one of the outdoor courtyard areas that were common in the time that they would sit and eat. So while being outdoors, this other lady comes in and comes alongside, and she is either a prostitute, she's just got a bad reputation is what we know. And so she, the whole time that Jesus is sitting there, is crying tears onto his feet. Now, Jesus is sitting here, and Simon should have allowed him to wash his feet. They're walking up and down dusty roads. Should have allowed him to wash his feet, but he didn't. He didn't wash Jesus' feet. So this lady is now washing his feet with tears so much that they're washing off. There is mud, and she is using the length of her hair to wipe his feet clean, right? And then Simon thinks, doesn't say, begins to think, if Jesus kind of knew what this lady was like and what she was up to and what her reputation was, he wouldn't let her do this. And then this text says that Jesus knew what he was thinking, right? I mean, Jesus is God. And so he says something to Simon while he was thinking about it. He says, hey, Simon, this girl, the reason she's doing this is because she is repentant. She has repentant words. She knows where she's been. She knows what she's done. She's moved through these areas. And the reason that you have a problem with this, Simon, is because you still think in terms that are not repentant. You're still using vague terms. Oh, you're a good person. After all, I'm a Pharisee. Look at me. Look at all that I've got. Look at all that I have achieved. And you're still thinking in ways that protect yourself and are very vague. But I'm here to tell you, Simon, that you are way worse off than she is. In fact, she's found free, and he turns her and says, your sins are forgiven, and he gives her freedom. Jesus is saying, look, your words, Simon, your thoughts and how you're rehearsing this story in your head, you don't even realize are an idol. You don't even realize it has made you into something that is repulsive, where she may have done some repulsive things, but now she has moved into this category, and for that, she is set free. And see, Paul says something very similar. If you got a Bible, you can turn in your Bible out to Romans chapter 2. Paul begins to talk about this very same idea. And so we're going to look at this, and then I'm going to offer you some things and how you can handle the idle words that are in your life. So in Romans chapter 2, Paul begins to address this. Now, I'm going to give it to you in the Message version of the Bible. The Message is a paraphrase done in very contemporary language. I wanted to change it up a little bit because you may have read this a lot. I want you to concentrate on the thoughts that are behind what Paul is saying here, very similar to what Jesus was saying. So in verse 3 of Romans, he says, you didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard, right? So he begins, he says, you know, hey, just like Simon, hey, Simon, you're pointing your finger at this lady. You didn't think by pointing at her and all that she's got going and all the bad that she's got going that I'm going to forget about all that you got going? That's what Paul is saying. Look, you want to point at all these people and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person, I'm not as bad as that person, I'm not as bad as that person. Do you think that really distracts God? That's what Paul is saying. Or did you think that because he's such a nice God that he'd let you off the hook? I mean, you've ever had that thought. Like, I don't know, God, you're going to let me, you know, you'll let me off the hook here. Then he says something very important. I want you to highlight this in your app. I want you to think about this. You better think this one through from the beginning, he says. Think it through from the beginning. Yes, God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. The NIV version says in that last part of that verse 4, it says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So what he's saying is, look, yeah, you think you're good, you think all this, and you think you're distracted with that? You think that I don't see all those things? Don't you understand? Yeah, I'm kind, but I'm not soft. But here's my kindness. I want to lead you out of this pattern. I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm going to lead you into freedom, repentance. I'm going to lead you there. That's where God's kindness comes in. You see, God wants to deal with the idolatry that has enslaved us. And he wants to move us into a category that sets us free. How many of you have ever had a secret and you've done, said all kinds of vague things and protecting words and all these things, you know, to kind of protect the secret, yet you stayed bound up and bound up and bound up and you just couldn't escape the feeling and the dirtiness and all that was there. But then for some reason or another, the secret came out and the specifics came out. And through that, because it was out, you were led to connect and to confession and to repentance. How did you feel? Well, in the beginning, I'm sure you felt terrible. All my secret is out. But how did you feel after? Many times, almost every time I hear someone say, I was relieved because now I'm free. This is what Paul is saying. This is what God wants to do. He wants to lead us out of this and into the freedom that is there with repentance. Jesus says it in a different way in Matthew. If you got your Bible out, you can go to Matthew chapter 12. In that same message version, this is how Jesus says it. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. That's tough, right? I don't know that I want to hear that. There will be time of reckoning. And then he says, this is very important. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. And what Jesus is talking about here, he's not talking about hell and he's not talking about the life to come. He's talking about this life here. Words can be your damnation or words can be your salvation. That you get to choose in which way you're going to go. Are you going to keep saying all these vague things to protect yourself? You're going to keep trying to prop yourself up and impress other people? You're going to do that? You're going to stay enslaved by that? Well, you're going to be caught up in damnation. But if you just cross over, and you start specifically looking at what is really going on in your life, what is really there, and rehearsing the truth and letting the Holy Spirit reveal what is true about what's going on in your life and what you got doing here, it will lead you to confession and repentance and freedom. Jesus says it will be your salvation. Your words, Jesus says, are powerful. Take them seriously. Here's what I know about you because I know it's true about me. You and I, we all have a language that we like to use that cuts us some slack, right? Or, you know, I need to give myself a break. You know, I'm not as bad as that. We all have words and we all have a tendency to want to use vague words to protect ourselves, don't we? I'm with you. But the truth is, this will never lead to freedom. So let me give you three things. When you're tempted to use these idle words and all the vagueness that is here, let me give you three things to think about that can lead you to a path, like Jesus said, to your salvation, to freedom that's there. And the first thing is this, to rethink. You need to rethink. Romans chapter 2, go back to that verse in verse 3 that says, or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'll let you off the hook? What does he say? You better think this one through from the beginning. When you're tempted to begin to idle off into vague words and things that can make you feel better about yourself, think it through. Go back to the beginning. Begin to look at what is there. I mean, the temptation and sin in all of us is to minimize what we're doing, to minimize what is going on. We all want to cut ourselves some slack. We all think that we're going to be the victim, and we try to make ourselves the victim. That way we can feel better about ourselves. But this says, think it through from the beginning. Do you think you're really fooling God? Is he just naively going to let you off the hook? You say, well, no, I'm not a sinner. I'm a mistaker. Really? It's funny, but we say it all the time. I made some mistakes. Really? The Bible calls those sin. Oh, then I guess I'm a sinner, right? Or you might say, I'm just a natural born flirter. Really? No, it's not that you're a natural born flirter. You know, I can't help myself. I'm just born that way. I don't have a problem with addiction. You know, I just need a little something to cope with life. Like whatever it is that you're telling yourself. You know, I'm not that bad of a dad or a husband. It's just a busy season at work. You know, I'm not a liar. It's just at work I got to stretch the truth, right? These are all things that we try to tell ourselves to protect. Rethink. Do you think you're fooling God? Is it something that the Bible says here? Really? Is God going to excuse all of that? So you rethink. If you're tempted, first thing is to rethink. Second thing, revisit. Go back. Go back to that moment. Verse 4 says, in kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand. And what does it say? He leads us into radical life change. He takes us somewhere. You need to revisit and go back and say, God, take me to where I am. Show me the specifics of what is really going on here. Not the vagueness of it. What is the specific thing that is going on? Most of us have done an excellent job. I've done this in my own life. An excellent job of insulating ourselves from what is really true. And so we tell ourselves all kinds of stories just to protect ourselves, right? This is how people can get away. This is how people cheat on their spouse. This is how people steal from the company. This is how people lie to their boss. They lie to their friends. This is how people abandon their children. It's because they have insulated themselves with things that aren't true. If you're tempted to do that, go back and then say, Jesus, lead me. Lead me into what is true. Allow me to see for what it is. And a lot of times, what we do in this area, in this time, is we begin to substitute guilt for conviction. This will be what happens every time. You'll feel guilty over here. I feel really bad. I feel really guilty. You know, I do all this. And so guilt, though, will never lead to repentance and action. Conviction comes from God. Conviction will come and say, I need you to do something. It doesn't come with condemnation. It doesn't come with guilt. It leads you into action. But we will stand here and we'll substitute guilt. You'll sit and listen to a message like this and you'll say, oh, Pastor got on it today. And boy, I felt bad and I felt terrible. And then we think, well, that's good enough. I had enough guilt. And you think guilt is actually repentance and then everything's okay. But then tomorrow you wake up and you do the same thing. Because it's not true repentance. And we've allowed guilt to be a substitute for conviction and for repentance, right? We need to revisit. It's not that you were born flirtatious. That's not it. The truth is that you use sexual attraction to get whatever it is that you want. That's the truth. That's where we get specific. That's how you get raises. That's how you get gifts. That's how you get love. That's how you get attention. Oh, wow. When you revisit, it's not that you're working all the time because it's a busy season at work. You're failing as a dad. You're letting down on your commitments. You're not living up to the obligations that you have. Oh, well, that hurts. I get it. But that's the truth of what's there. That's what will lead you to freedom, right? I hear this one all the time. Hey, Clay, I would like to be able to do that, but here's the thing. I just like nice things. The truth is, hey, I mean, we all, it's not that you like nice things. You're selfish. Because I've went around the room here. It's not like it's like we all like crappy stuff. You like nice things, right? You have to get to the specifics, and you have to revisit, and you have to be able to go there because conviction will lead us to the third thing. So we want to rethink, we want to revisit, and then we will use that conviction to lead us to repent. And repent, I don't know, the Panthers are starting. You'll see it on signs as a way to tell people that we actually hate them. But repentance really means that you turn and you go a different direction. You were going this way, now you go that way. And so you repent. God, I was trying to minimize things. I was using vague words, trying to protect myself. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to allow you to reveal to me. I'm going to get specific. And then I'm going to connect and I'm going to confess. And God, I really am going to repent. One leads to destruction. One leads to salvation. One leads to freedom. There has to be repentance. And it begins with taking action in our words. So the question that I have for us to begin to think about, especially those of us who have prayed a prayer and say, hey, I'm following Jesus, I want to ask you a real simple question. Who has functional control of your life? And it's easy to say, well, Jesus, he runs my life. No, I'm asking, who actually runs it? Who has functional control of your life? Let me give you a couple of hints that if Jesus does not have functional control in your life, here's a couple of indicators. Now, we will all go through seasons of this, but what I'm saying is, if you have an ongoing think battle with this, it might be an indicator that Jesus doesn't have functional control of your life. A couple of them, one, anxiety. If you're going through a long, long period, extended season, struggling with anxiety, it might be that Jesus doesn't really have functional control of your life. If you're having a long, ongoing season of worry, you know, if you're battling discouragement just over and over and over, it might be, I'm not saying it is, but it's a really good indicator that Jesus might not have functional control of your life, and he wants to have that. You see, the symptoms of being controlled by Jesus and functional control of Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not experiencing those things, I just want to go back. And I'm not questioning your salvation. I would never do that. Who has functional control? Are you living in this world? And is it time to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you control, and I want you to get specific? So let's bow our heads. Let's do that in this moment where we're at. Jesus, our words are symptomatic of where our heart really is. And my temptation and all of our temptations in this room as human beings is to protect ourselves. And Jesus, we confess that these vague words and these vague terms that we've been using have allowed us to escape the reality of where our heart really is, that you do not have control of our life. So Jesus, we invite you. Holy Spirit, I invite you in here. Speak to us. And as the Holy Spirit begins to speak, let him point out in you the specific areas that have become idols in your life. Point out into you where you've been justifying things, where you have been using vague words and self-protecting words. Let the Holy Spirit actually reveal what is true, the specifics. Maybe you're here and maybe work and a career, that's become the center of your life. And you've been using words like, well, I'm just driven, I'm focused. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he's saying, no, you're shallow. You're destroying relationships. And it's led you into depression. Maybe you're here and self-gratification and pleasure have become the center of your life. And you've been using all kinds of protecting words. And right now the Holy Spirit is saying, look, you don't understand, you're addicted. The truth is you're addicted. And you're constantly looking for an escape. It's not that a small issue. It's not a small problem. This is a deal. Maybe you've made money and possessions kind of the center of your life. And what the Holy Spirit is showing you right now is all you do is worry about your possessions. All you do worry how am I going to lose them? How am I going to get more? And what's going to happen? That's controlling you. Maybe the center of your life is that you just need to be liked and approved by other people. And the Holy Spirit's like, look, that's not just a small thing, that it has led you into this whole area of paranoid fear that somebody's always talking about you. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to, he wants to get specific so he can lead you to repentance, salvation. Freedom is found in repentance. Jesus wants to be more than just a placeholder in your life. And if you're here and you find yourself depressed and angry and hurt and alone and confused and without a direction, Jesus wants to say, look, let's change the words that you're thinking. Let's change that story and put you on a path that can lead you away from all of that. So I invite you right now, right where you're at, to just say something like this. Jesus, I need you so much. I need you not just as a placeholder in my life. Jesus, I know I prayed the prayer and I said that I'm a Christian, I'm all these things, but Jesus, I really need you to be functionally in control of everything that I have. Show me areas where I've just been excusing my behavior. God, show me areas where I've just been using words to make myself be protected from the reality. God, lead me into repentance because I want life. I'm tired of surviving. I want to start thriving in my life. Jesus, would you come and move all across us in this room this morning? Change us. Move us from idle words into repentant words. God, set us free. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.